Stand by for the Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Terry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, my guest is Kurt Charlton, and you were here just a couple of months ago, and we talked about children's books, which we're going to get into a little bit later on today, too, which is what you're doing right now. I asked you to come back because you spent some time, quite a bit of time, incarcerated. I asked you if we could talk about that. You told me that I could ask you anything I wanted to ask you. There's no guidelines of what I can and can't ask you, and I appreciate that. I wanted to find out about prison life. I have never been in prison, so I'm curious about it. However, I will tell you, I took a tour of Alcatraz years ago.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that was bizarre. You know, who is in Alcatraz? Al Capone and the Birdman of Alcatraz?
There was, yeah.
And we took the tour, and it was the part about the tour, Kirk, that I remember the most was the boat ride out there. You kind of come around through the back, and then all of a sudden you're there. And I tried to think to myself, what were the inmates thinking when they were taking that boat ride out there?
Right.
Did you ever talk to anybody that was from Alcatraz or spent some time in Alcatraz?
No, but I could imagine if you had some kind of escape plan.
Yeah. Good luck on that one.
Right. That
would change. There's sharks out there, Kurt.
Right. Sharks and cold water, and you probably wouldn't make it.
It was really impressive to go through there and just to see how they lived. And the part that I thought, it happened to be a foggy day. Hello, San Francisco Bay.
Right.
We walked around the through the tour there. I thought, it's cold. It's really cold here, and I wondered how well they kept it, the climate for the inmates there or not, because it didn't seem like there's a lot of windows. There was holes, which I imagine over time that's what happened. But I thought, how do they keep it warm here?
Yeah, I think it's certainly they have a better system now to keep you warm. They got heaters and stuff. And I don't know. That's an old prison. I don't know if they had.
I think it didn't they shut it down around 62 or something like that, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But and they had, I was watching Escape from Alcatraz starring Clint Eastwood.
All right,
here you go.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Where a couple of people did actually get off the island, and they never found them. They presumed maybe that the sharks had them for lunch.
Yeah.
But then they found one of the rafts or something over on Sausalito or somewhere in the area there.
That guy might have made it.
Yeah, so. he may have made it there. And so he may be, he may not have been shark bait.
Right.
So anyhow, Kurt, I appreciate you coming in today. We're going to chat a little bit about this, and then a little bit later on, I'm going to ask you some questions about this, what you're doing now, because it's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
You are doing now. First of all, how old are you?
I'm 58.
You're 58 years old.
Yeah.
And how many years did you spend incarcerated?
Almost half my life, 25 years.
So. Okay. So what was the first crime that you committed that you became incarcerated over?
Well, it was stealing a car.
Okay.
So I
any particular type of car?
Tell me all
it was
I
a
know is that
Cadillac or
that
something good.
It ran. That's that's all I was worried about. So I wasn't very selective.
Where was
at
that
time.
At?
It was in Oregon.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, and obviously you were caught for it. Did the sentencing? They sentenced you to what?
Well, actually, for that. That's kind of the beginning, the genesis of all of it. But that you don't get much time. You go to the county jail kind of thing. So I think I got 3 months or something like that.
Okay.
Really, I'm trying to think of an exact amount of time. But started off pretty.
When you're sitting in, and you called it the joint. So I'm going to use your lingo.
Okay. Yeah.
Because now I'm cool if I use your lingo.
There's,
okay.
There's a
if you go to jail. Do you sit there and you count the days? I got, 17 days left. I got 16 days left. Do you count the days or do you not think about it?
I think you count the days when you start getting what they call short, to keep with our lingo, if you got a couple months left, you might start, marking off the calendar and that sort of thing. But, when you start off with 8 years or I did 25 years, but in what they call the installment plan, where you go in for a period of time, then you get out and go back in, that kind of thing. So,
are you messing with my mind? Is the installment plan, is it really? You're screwing with me now, right? I can tell.
No.
Then why are you smiling? Because you're messing with me. The installment plan is you come out, but then you get into trouble and go back in?
Right.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I'm catching on to you, Kurt.
Right. The lexicon, we're trying to get that going. So, no, and you know, you become this, I accumulated 25 years, probably over 30 years, let's say.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Was that your first 3 months? Was that your first big period of time that you were incarcerated?
Well, it seemed like it at the time.
Yeah.
For sure. Later on, you know, I ended up doing more time.
Okay. At, so at you got out after the 3 months. So where were you at? You were in county jail, you said?
Right.
Okay. How long will they keep you in a county jail before they say, nah, you can't stay here that long?
Well,
time to move on to the joint.
Right. It depends on.
I like using that word, by the way.
Yeah. You sound good. You sound like an old convict.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
I think.
So, a compliment. Really, you know, it depends on your crime, right? So,
okay.
You know, you're not going to go. You're going to go to the joint if you're in for murder, that sort of thing, robbery. You know.
Now, let's just say you did commit a murder. Do you, when you go to prison or the joint, did you refer to it, do they put you in a special area with other murderers or are you just in general population with just anybody and everybody?
Yeah, you end up in general pop, you know, population.
Okay.
But when you go to county jail, just to make it clear, I wasn't in for murder,
okay.
You know, when you go to the county jail, you get a little special treatment. I think you're isolated for a little while because of, I don't know, the crime or the nature of the crime or whatever. But, you don't just go into general pop in the county jail initially. I think you're in the hole for a while. So.
Okay. And we're going to get into that hole here in a little bit. You mentioned that last time, and I kept thinking, I'm driving home. I go, I wonder what that hole really is. You know? Okay, so you're in county jail. You get out.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you out before you went on the installment plan?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's a pretty linear happening for me. I get out and I do well for a while, and then I start using, doing drugs. And
what was your drug of choice?
Like, you know, pretty much everything.
Okay.
You know, I can't really nail anything down. I mean, you know, there was a time when I was doing heroin, and there was a time when I was doing meth. There was a time cocaine, and just. You know,
how old were you then?
All of them. So,
were you in your 20s or?
Yeah, late 20s.
Okay.
Late 20s.
Okay.
I mean, I had been in trouble in my teens. Most of my 20s was pretty good, you know, no contact with the law and that sort of thing. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, do you think that the drugs led to committing the other? Because obviously, you got to come up with some cash to buy the drugs.
Right.
Okay, so do you think that's what led to the following crimes?
Well, what bumps me out is I'm perfectly capable of working, right?
You right.
Know? So, but, you know, I ended up deciding that it was, you know, that somebody else was working and they had money and I could just...
It was easier.
Yeah, it was a little easier.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. In the long run, not, but it happens all the time the same way. You get out, you do well for a while, stay clean and sober, and then at some point, you know, you start using again a little bit at a time, and then you become dependent. And and then you do a smaller crime, I guess. I'd like to, maybe theft or something like that, and then you go to the county jail. And then I would get out after a few months and then start it over again. And then it just seemed like for me, my crimes would increase. And then at some point, it's, off to the joint. So
okay. So
same thing every time.
You know. When was your first off to the joint experience? When was that? How old were you? Do you remember?
So I think it was 29. So
okay. What was the crime that led to that?
Robbery. Yeah.
Okay. Did that happen up here in Oregon?
Yes, it did.
Okay. So you're in your trial and they say, okay, guilty. And now they're going to sentence you. What was your sentence?
I got, it started with 36 months for a Rob 2, and then they found another Rob 2. So my first sentence combined.
What is robbery 2? Is that without a weapon?
That is without a weapon, right?
Okay.
Right. So.
See, I do watch 48 Hours.
You do, yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of shows out there. Yeah. That
okay, so you've got 36 months in prison?
I got more time.
Okay. Where was that at? Which prison?
OSP. I went to Oregon State Penitentiary.
Yeah. And that's here in Salem?
Right down the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you were there for 36 months?
I was there I ended up getting 87 months altogether.
Okay.
Because they ran another robbery in another county consecutive to the other robbery. Yeah.
So, and you're a tough guy. I can see it. I know that. But when you get that 87 months in prison, and you're driving down Amsville Highway heading to the prison there,
right? Amsville or yeah, were you, State Street.
Kurt, were you scared at all? I mean, you're a tough guy. I get that, but you're still going to be in there for the next 86 months. Are you scared at all?
You know, as far as being scared of people in prison, that sort of thing. You could run into somebody that is
doesn't like you for whatever reason.
Yeah, because whatever. So as far as being the worst part about it is knowing that I couldn't be around my family.
Sure. If you don't mind me asking, what kind of family did you have at that? Were you married?
No.
Children at all?
Yes, my daughter Sophie was born then. She was pretty young.
Okay.
A couple years or so.
Okay. You pull up to the prison,
yeah,
and then those doors shut.
Yeah, especially OSP because it was built in 18 something, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's sort of antiquated at this point. The modern prisons have doors with windows in them, but OSP's got what they call open bars, right?
Just right, right.
Like you'd see on the old shows or whatever. But doesn't look like a pretty place at all. So.
Okay, so when you go in there that first day, what do they do? I mean, you're not going to get the tour of the joint.
No.
You walk in there. They how do they process you through?
So you're called. You're an A&O, and I'm trying to think of what that stands for. But it's not. It's your first time.
Okay.
Type thing.
So okay.
Back then we didn't call each other inmates. We called each other convicts. So that was. The way to if you were called an inmate, then you were somebody that wasn't adapting well to prison, and you are running around scared pretty much. But initially getting there was you go through this period of time where you don't really have any choices. You can't choose your own cellie, your own cellmate, and you're not really programming and getting a lot of the opportunities that the guys get once they've been there for a while. So
you get your cellmate, I guess is what we'll call him.
Right.
You go in
Celly.
There. Celly, okay.
Right, yeah.
And what do you get in there that first day, you meet your cellie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell
That's
him
fun.
Why you're in there, or does he already know why you're in there? Do you ask him why he's in there?
Yeah. It needs to be clear right away. And I think, if you have a crime that's not accepted, I guess.
Involving children, a lot of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Involving kids or, rape and that kind of thing. You're going to have problems. And that initial meeting with your cellie is going to be uncomfortable, to say the least. Okay. So
in your case, it was a robbery, so you're not in that other category.
Never been
so
there, no.
With the last minute that we have here to mm-hmm. go here, do they tell you this is how it works all day long, what you're going to be doing and blah, 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 so you know what's coming?
Pretty much. It's funny. I always talk about guys kind of faking while they're in prison. So, and it's a way to survive, I guess, or a way to fit in, but guys will pretend like maybe they've done time before, or so they'll glean info from other inmates and just kind of navigate that.
So are
way.
They like wannabe tough guys?
Well, yeah, there are okay. there are a lot of that, but you don't want to seem like a fish. That's another part of the lingo there. You don't want to seem like a fish.
I'm going to go home tonight and lay all kinds of lingo on my wife tonight. She'll be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
Hey, Kurt, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest, Kurt Charlton.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking with my buddy Kurt Charlton, and we're talking about being incarcerated. Kurt spent, would you say 28 years of your
25,
life?
25, yeah.
25 years? 25. See, I just added three more to you.
Yeah, please.
Because of this menu you showed me here.
Oh, okay.
So one of the things that I'd like to ask you about, okay, day number one, you go to bed, you lay your head down on that pillow. What's going through your mind?
For me, it was pretty tough because, like I always talk about, my family, my daughter particularly, you know, after the third or fourth time that I was incarcerated, you really start to think that, you know, this is pretty dumb, you know.
Right.
And what am I missing out on? I'm missing out on Sophie learning how to ride a bike, you know, first day at school, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, and you just ruminate about it and think about it all the time. And
how old was Sophie when you went to prison the first time?
I think she was... Man, I wish I knew exactly, but I think she was about a year and a half, 2 years.
Oh, real young.
Super young, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would she be allowed to come visit you at all throughout the years?
Yeah. There, you know, we have visiting, obviously, in prison, but
right.
She lived in Ohio at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah, kind of far away.
Yeah.
So.
Let's talk about that. You get up the next morning. This is your first full day there. What time do they get you up?
Well, it depends on the joint you're in, but they're all pretty much the same, what, six
o'clock? In the morning?
They ring the first bell, yeah, for chow. You don't have
Why
to go
so
to
early?
We got to get the day going. I mean, we got things to do, you know, get to work and go to the weight pile.
Okay. You're gonna throw these words at me. I'm gonna ask you what each one means here, so
yeah.
Keep that in mind. All right, so you go down there for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how long do they let you? How long do you stay for breakfast?
Okay, you got 20 minutes, man.
That's it.
Yeah, to eat once you sit down, and sometimes they'll go a little bit over, and sometimes they're trying to get you in and out because if you're one of the first units to eat. Typically, the first unit is the honor dorm. So these guys have been there for a while, and they've behaved. So they get to go eat first. And,
okay.
You know, they try to rush you through because they have not one or two people in the dining room. They got several hundred in the dining room
right.
at one time. So.
Are you okay to sit with whoever you want, wherever you want? Or are there certain unwritten rules that, hey, you don't go to this table?
Yeah, and that's probably what you learn, Terry, when you first meet your cellie, your cellmate. Where do the homies sit, or where do the blacks sit, where do the whites sit? And, yeah, you cannot just plop down anywhere you want, necessarily.
So when you walk into the cafeteria, what do they call it? Is it a cafeteria? What do they call it?
Chow hall.
Chow hall. Okay.
Yeah.
When you walk into the chow hall that first time there, are you being checked out? Like, okay, this is the new guy, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's like first day at school or something, you know.
Right.
We're checking you out Yeah, and then you find out where you're going to sit. I was, I'm with the Islanders, I guess you could say, and so we sat. We have the smaller amount of tables because where I was doing time at, it was mostly, well, it depends, but the blacks would have, you know, a few tables. The whites would have the majority of the tables in Oregon, I think, pretty much. And then the Spanish guys, and then...
Right.
And then the Islanders.
What if you make friends with somebody that's not in your table? Are you okay to go sit at their table, or are you just better stay at your own table?
You know, I had a lot of friends that from different areas, I guess. But yeah, you would sit with your people in the chow hall. I mean, every once in a while, I guess you could sit with another group.
Okay.
But,
they feed you enough?
They feed you enough, yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'm not...
Can you go back for seconds? If you're a
no.
pig like I am, can you go back and say, hey, can I have some more of those?
No. What you do there is you ask your cellie if he's going to eat all of his pancakes in the morning, and he'll say, nah, and then get some extra pancakes off of him. So
okay.
That's the way to do it.
Is the food good?
You know, I live in gratitude. I really do. It'll fill your tummy. And I think they are required to have the right amount of, say, vitamins in each meal. You know, they have to fulfill that. So is the food good?
I mean, you're not at a right. Club Med. Okay, we get that.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah, there's no hollandaise sauce or nothing like that.
Yeah.
So
do they give you plastic utensils, or do you have regular knife and fork? And
yeah, no knives, Terry. No.
Okay.
Knives.
Well, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
But a fork can do just as much damage as a knife could do.
Yeah, so they have sporks, right? I think that's what it's called, where it's a spoon.
Spork, okay.
Or something like that. So they have that. But in the county jail, you get just a spoon. That's all
okay.
you got. So,
okay.
And plastic, yeah.
I'm looking over this commissary order form that you brought in with me to share.
Yummy,
and
yeah.
I'll tell you what, there is some good stuff on here. And I'm looking at these prices, and they're really inexpensive. So you have to pay for it. Do you have like an account?
Right. Yeah. You have an inmate, money account.
Okay. And how do you add money to that, or how do you accumulate money?
Well, your family can put money on your books. It goes to what they call central trust. So
okay.
It goes to one place, and then it gets dispersed from there to your account, your books. So.
Is there a limit on what they can put in there?
I don't know. I certainly never hit that.
Never hit the limit.
But there are some guys, when I was in the feds, that had, 10 grand on their books or more.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Do the inmates know what's on your books? Wait a minute. We're not supposed to call them inmates.
Convicts?
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Do they know what's on your books?
Well, I mean, if you walk around with a new pair of sneakers every day, they know what's on your books. But, yeah, there's a whole other thing about that, because you want to not maybe be so boastful and
sure.
let people know
sure.
what you got. So.
By looking at this list, I mean, you've got a little bit of anything and everything here. I mean, from vanilla cream cookies,
$1.39.
For how many did you get? Would you get like a dozen of them or something? You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would always get those, as a matter of fact.
Really?
It's funny you went to that. Yeah.
Well, that was the first thing that jumped out of my mind. I go, well, those look good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm looking at it here, and M&M plain, M&M peanut butter, and that's like $1.
Mm-hmm.
Black licorice, red licorice, $1.57.
Right,
For how much licorice? Is that just for one strand, or is that?
You know, I never bought licorice, but.
What was your food of choice? What'd you love?
So I think, we'd have these things called a spread, right? So we would get all of the ingredients would be chips, cheese, meat, and I don't know. We try to get some onions from the chow hall or something like that.
Yeah.
But you spread all the chips out on the table, and then, there's four or five guys standing around. I got a picture of that in my art show coming up. But, yeah, and you just melt the cheese in the microwave and just spread it all over it, and it's that's probably my favorite.
Yeah. Where do you do that at? You can't do that in your cell and invite a bunch of guys in there.
No, you can't. We do it in the day room.
Okay.
Pretty much where everybody... sits and watches TV, and they got some tables out there that are assigned to different groups too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we'll be back with more in just a moment.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back with The Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today we are talking to Kirk Charlton. Got front, first
Thank
and last.
Thank you. That was
first
great.
And last. Yep.
yep
okay.
Yep.
Kirk spent several years incarcerated, and we're talking a little bit about the prison system here. When we were last talking, we were talking about all the good food that they serve there.
Yum.
What happens if you get sick? Did you ever get sick?
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten sick.
What do they do?
What you do is you fill out what's called a kite. It's a communication form.
Okay.
And they have a special one for medical.
Okay.
So what you do is you fill that out, and then it's got little boxes to put an X in, or do you have a fever? Do you, that kind of thing. So, and then you put that in the mail, and the next day you'll get a response and an appointment scheduled.
What if it's something that you can't wait until next day?
Then you go to the CO, the corrections officer, and you tell him, hey, man, I'm sick. I got to see medical now. And so he'll call up there and they'll maybe send a nurse down or
Is there somebody on site? Then is there a doctor or a nurse on site?
Yeah, there's an office area or a medical I don't want to call it a hospital, but, you know,
right.
They call it medical. So,
okay.
And they have nurses because they have to, you know, they got to give guys meds. They have to, you know.
How does that work? I take several meds a day myself, and I'm sure that people inside must have to have medication.
Yeah.
Do they come by every morning and say, okay, here you go?
They do that for, let's say if you're in the hole, you can't keep your meds in your cell. But what you have is you have these packets that you can take to your cell. Now, these are, they're not narcotic drugs, that kind of thing, because guys can barter with that. But so you have your packets in the cell, and then if your medications are stronger, or if you're having to take, I don't know, I can't think of anything, but some kind of narcotic, then you have to go to what they call Medline. Each unit, kind of like the chow, where they, you know, the honor dorm would go first, and then so you go up to Medline, and you'd have to walk to and stand in line for sometimes quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you go up, they give you your meds in a cup in front of the nurse. You pop the pill or whatever, and then you drink your water, and then you got to stick your tongue out at the nurse and
to make sure that you've swallowed it.
So
okay,
and she looks in there, and you know, if you've done it for a while and she knows you, she's not going to bug you too much. But then you got to turn around and show the cop, you know, your tongue. So yeah, you're sticking your tongue out a couple of times to make sure that you swallowed it.
Interesting.
Not fun.
No. So back to day one there, when do you get a chance to shower?
Have an opportunity every day. So depending on, I've been in a few joints, so, you know, they'll ring the bell for shower. They have a morning one and then one after work around 3:30, because count time's at 4. Yeah, so 3:30 or so, or 3 o'clock. Yeah, and then once you go to the honor dorms, and they have open showers all the time, you know, you can get in there and... But there's only, you know, 6 shower heads in an honor dorm, and there's, what, 70 guys, so...
Get in, get out.
Get in, get out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be respectful.
Are the guards okay? I mean, there's bad apples in everything.
In everything,
there's bad disc jockeys, okay? Don't look at me. Don't look at me like that.
Not you.
But are the guards okay to deal with, or are they just attitude and hey, I'm this and... You're not?
Well, like you said, they're all different, and you know, I've met some people in administration that are just great. I mean, they're cool. I mean, and
they're just doing their job.
They're just doing their job, and some, and you know, I talked to some still now, the administrative staff through my program, and they have a heart for the incarcerated. I like to put it, and I always tell them that they're kind of weird in a good way, you know, and I always encourage them not to get burned out, because they seem to go to a next step to try to, you know, help a guy out and not, you know, look at him as this evil person,
right.
And that you know, he did what he did, but he's not real, that's not who he is.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
And you know, so, and I think those people are really helping out the system.
You see it again. Here we go with the Clint Eastwood movies again.
Mm-hmm.
But you see in the movies there, if a guard is in trouble, are you going to help him out? Or do you just kind of say, you know what?
Wow.
Sorry, dude. Sorry.
You know, I think in the beginning of my doing time, I would say no, you know, back with him. So, but there's no way I'm going to stand by, particularly a lady guard that's, you know, getting jumped on or whatever. I'm gonna stand up, and I don't care what other people.
Is there a lot of fights? Are there lots of fights?
Yeah, not
did
as,
you have your share?
Yeah, years ago. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, not a problem. So.
Okay. You mentioned two things that I want to ask you on here, and then I promise you on our next segment, we're going to talk about what you're doing next. It's incredible what you're doing now. Federal prison versus what? Not federal prison? What's the difference?
I would say the main difference, right off the bat, there's no TVs in your cell in the feds. So
you have TVs in your cell at the regular prisons?
In the state prisons, yeah. Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, and if you're in a dorm, they have this little stand that you put your TV on, and you got to have headphones on, obviously. But in the feds, where I was at, Atwater in California, which is a terrible place.
Atwater's not a good prison.
I've
heard stories from Atwater.
Yeah, I was there during a pretty bad time, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no each race or each car has their own TV. On the flats is what they call it, out in the day room. So,
okay.
Yeah,
how long were you at Atwater?
I was there from 2002 to 2007.
Okay, so for about 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Were you glad to get out of there?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. You know, when you were saying about the fights and stuff like that, that's they were fighting all the time because they were drinking. And people change when you...
Wait a minute. What do you mean they were drinking?
Yeah. You make wine and,
okay,
and that kind of thing. Pruno.
Okay. How about tattoos? They do tattoos in prison?
I've got tattoos from prison, and I'm an artist, so I've drawn patterns for tattoos. And I
bet with the work you do, I bet a lot of guys come and say, hey, you know, Kirk, come on and draw something for me.
A lot. And that was my... that was how I generated a little income, I guess. And that was, money in prison is not, you know, cash and coins. In the feds, it's stamps. So if I have a book of stamps, how much were they? At the time, they were seven, I forgot. But a book of stamps is 20 stamps. So I think it was $14 or whatever. So, you know, that if I had a book, then I could buy a book's worth of commissary or a book's worth of...
Right.
Wine or whatever, you know. So, but in the state, it's commissary. So, if I'm going to buy something from you, you're gonna require two bags of tasters or coffee or probably a bunch of vanilla cookies.
There you go. Now we're talking. You mentioned something earlier, and you said this the last time you were here, and I never got a chance to find out. And then we're gonna take a break here. Then we're gonna get into what you're doing right now. You said the hole.
Yeah.
What the hell is the hole? And describe it and tell me what you have to do to get in the hole, and then how do you get out of the hole?
Yeah, I know.
You got about 5 minutes left on the segment.
Ooh. Yes, sir. So you got to do something against the rules to get in the hole?
Like, give me an example, for instance.
You name it. You get in a fight, get caught with dope, get...
Okay, so you got in a fight, and they're going to put you in the hole. What is the hole?
Okay, so it's a disciplinary segregation unit, otherwise called DSU.
Okay.
Acronym for that. Yeah, and that's where the guys, like I said the last time, my dad asked me if I was in the hole again, and I said, yeah, and he kept, you know, he said, you're in the jail of the jail, Kirk, you know.
Right.
Let's smarten up type thing, so...
Are you by yourself in a room someplace? Or
no, you can get a celly. You can get a celly when you're in the bucket or the hole.
I'm writing down bucket now, too.
Yeah, bucket, right, yeah.
So, because for me, I imagine when you get in the hole, I just thought they put you in this room where it's dark and you're in there for, what, 24 hours or whatever. Well, in Clint Eastwood, that's what happens.
Well,
now, don't be laughing.
Cool Hand Luke,
the Cool Hand Luke, yeah. Here you go. But that's not the way it really is, though?
No, what happens is there's a lot of things that happen. So you lose all of your...
Privileges?
Privileges.
Okay. Right?
You don't... That commissary list we went over earlier, that's just a lot smaller. So no vanilla cookies and that kind of thing. Just the things like toothpaste and, you know...
Okay. How long would you be in the hole? What's the typical time?
Depending on what you did. You know, I went to the hole one time for fighting and then got out 7 days later.
Wow.
Because we agreed to not fight again. And I said it was my fault. And he said, it's my fault type thing. So, but you can go to the hole for fighting and be in there for a long, long time, you know.
Yeah.
Now, in Oregon, they have this thing called IMU, which is Intensive Management Unit, right? So it's the next level. It's the next level from the hole. So you're in the jail of the jail of the jail kind of thing. So, and these guys do years. I mean, I met a guy that came into one of my classes at Eastern Oregon Correctional Institute that had been in IMU, I think, a total of almost 20 years.
Really?
20 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kurt, we have 2 minutes left before we have to take our final break here. And how are you doing now? You look great.
Thank you.
How you doing now?
You know, I'm doing great. It's my sobriety is the key to everything, and that's become more and more obvious. But I'm a little unorganized because of all the things.
Aren't
I'm
we
doing.
All?
Yeah. And
are you angry at all? Are you mad? Are you mad at the world? Are you mad at yourself? Are you mad at me? Who are you mad at?
Absolutely not.
Really?
I live in gratitude. I am so happy today. I got to pinch myself because, you know, a lot of people get consumed with what's going on and all this other stuff. And I just think that it's cool to have a driver's license and insurance, too.
Yeah. Are you a victim? Do you feel like you're a victim?
Absolutely not. I did what I did. I mean, I didn't go to trial on anything, Terry. I didn't try to fight my...
Yeah.
Because I did what I did. And you know, it wouldn't have made any sense. So
why are you okay talking about it so freely? I mean, you basically told me I can ask anything I want, and there's no guidelines here. So why are you so okay to talk about it all?
Well, I think my transformation to change has been part of that is just to be genuine. I talk about being genuine in my program a lot, and transparency and being genuine and telling the truth is cool, and it doesn't it's not. Nothing bad happens to you, really.
Right.
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 So
we need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up here. Our guest is Kirk. Got it? Kirk.
Right.
Instead of Kurt, Kirk Charlton.
Thank you.
And you're going to tell us what you've been doing now. And it's pretty incredible. You brought some photographs in here with this, and we're going to talk about it. And we'll be back in just a minute. Stick around. You're listening to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on 104.3 KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. Are you in the market for a new car? Well, if so, I encourage you to do what I do. Head down to Lule's Car Connection. Lule's has been selling quality vehicles for over 30 years. Lule's brokers any new vehicle selling within dealer invoice. But check this out. Lule's has financing with most major lenders and credit unions. So do what I do. Stop by Lule's Car Connection, located at 2055 Mission Street in Salem, and tell them Saltissimo sent you. Lule's Car Connection. We are back with our final few minutes. Today's guest has been my buddy Kirk Charlton. He was talking about the fact that he spent pretty much half of his life incarcerated. You've been out for how long now?
A year and 2 months.
Yeah. You're doing okay?
I'm doing great. It's amazing. So.
And you're never going to go back, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Because you'll have Uncle Terry to talk to if you do,
yeah,
okay?
Uncle Terry.
And you don't want Uncle Terry to talk to you.
No,
all right.
Not at all.
What are you doing right now?
Well, currently I'm working, I live on with my Aunt Betty and my cousin Phil on a pretty large farm in Hopewell, Oregon, the big city that we talked about before. So I'm doing a bunch of things, but mainly I am working on my Art Inside Out program.
What is that?
Art Inside Out is a program that I developed while I was incarcerated.
Okay.
At EOCI. Had a lot of help from staff and a lot of help from other guys too. So Art Inside Out uses art as a vehicle to connect, to relate, to get to the real you is essentially what it's about. So I know guys that do time that try to change, and I think that changing is very difficult when you're not your true self. I mean, that's where I needed to get to the true Kirk, know that I'm valuable, know that I'm smart, know that I'm important.
Why did you change? Why?
Why did I change? Bunch of things. I think I got sick and tired.
You think Sophie was the main reason?
Oh, yeah.
That'll do it.
Thank you. Yep.
That'll do it.
Like your grandkids, right?
You got it.
Yep.
That'll do it.
So definitely that. You know, you get tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then I just had a lot of good people around me that said, hey, Kirk, you got some talent with your art and that sort of thing. So.
Now, you recently went back east. Last time we talked, you were just getting ready to go to what, Minnesota, I believe?
Went to Minnesota. That's the second time I've been to Minnesota.
What do you do there?
Yeah, I did my Art Inside Out program there.
Okay.
To a drug and alcohol clinic, and we had some...
Do you do a lot of that? Do you talk with a lot of folks that maybe are on the edge, going to go one way or another here? And
I do, and I feel like I've got some empirical knowledge, maybe not material knowledge. You know, I don't have a lot of college and all that stuff. But, yeah, I do have a lot to contribute. Program, Art Inside Out program is going to... We're going to do the drug and alcohol folks. We're going to do the elderly. I have a good thing for that. And kids, I love doing the kids. We don't say dummy down. We make it more understandable for the kids.
Sure.
And then we're going to do DOC, and we're going to do the IBM Nike executive group. But but the curriculum is interesting, Terry, because we vacillate. We go back and forth from doing art, right, to the positive dialogue. And I've written a bunch of things were, when I was trying to make my life better, I was also trying to make my art better at the same time. And I began to see these parallels and these connections between, you know, making my art better and my life better. When I teach art, I talk about the feeling of sufficiency when you're learning art. So, you know, a lot of people think that perfection is what you're striving for immediately when you're learning art. And I tell them that, you know, you're not going to be a Picasso or a Rembrandt or anything like that in your first try. But you want to put the effort in, right? You don't want to be in the category of, I want to be an artist, but you're not putting any effort in. You don't have any materials, that kind of thing. So the area of sufficiency is where you want to be, in between those two things, where you know you're doing your best, you're getting better as you go, and you're going to keep plugging away at it. And at some point, because art is a learned skill, it's not something you're born with necessarily.
When did you first realize that, you know what, I got something here, I'm working?
Oh, yeah, very much so. But in life, you know, that's how life is. You know, instead of perfection and lack of effort, I talk about life having this feeling of sufficiency. But so I got a bunch of writings on that, and they seem to be pretty well received.
Okay, before we get too far or short on time, you write some books.
Yeah.
And you write some interesting titles to some of these books, right?
Yeah. The books are, it's my I Want to Be series, IWB. My daughter, Sophie, wanted to be a paleontologist when she was 8 years old. Of course, she works for the Chamber of Commerce in Cincinnati now, so yeah. She's changed her mind several times. But, you know, there's a lot of books that are out there. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a nurse, which are great, great occupations, that sort of thing. But
I've yet to see I Want to Be a Disc Jockey.
Yeah, well, I can make one.
Well, there you go then. Next time you come in, you should have that one ready for us.
You will be in it too.
Okay, there you go.
But these books cover other things. So because kids change their mind, I want to be a marine biologist. Then we go back. We go from that serious occupation to a fun hobby type thing. So I want to be a jazz musician. And then we'll go to more, then I want to be an archaeologist. And then I want to be an artist. So I've got 5 books out now.
Yeah.
The other one is I want to be a soccer player. So, and I have 16 more written. No, there would be a total of 16. So I've
How long does it take you to write a book?
Depends. You know, I did this while I was incarcerated.
Okay.
So my information was not Google. It was the 1979, you know, not dictionary, but what do you call them? Encyclopedias.
Yeah.
Took a while doing that, but I can write one of these books. They're all 20 pages long. They're diverse. They're very educational. So we want all the schools to get them. And the artwork's good. There's a little twist in every story that gets resolved at the end. And no, they're really cool. Not long at all.
And you write them by yourself?
100%, yeah.
So tell me a little bit. We have about 2.5 minutes left to go on this before we get into how people can get in touch with you. When's your next art show?
Well, you know, that's
because of this COVID, you know.
Yeah, COVID.
Who knows?
That? Oh, yeah. So my next art show will be at the Paragon in Portland, which is connected to the PCC campus in Northeast Portland. So, it'll be there. When it's going to be, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it's called My Personal Experience, and it's a bunch of drawings, 37 drawings of what I went through when I was incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
None of it's contrived or made to seem worse than it was. Terry, people love the art, but they seem to be more interested in the transformation and kind of my story, cautionary story, I guess you could call it. Yeah, it's great. I'm excited. The COVID's kind of put a damper on it,
right.
But I'm glad I'm out here and not incarcerated during it. So, yeah.
Are people standoffish when they come up and talk to you and find out that you have been incarcerated? Do they tend to back off a little bit, or are they just... I find it very interesting myself.
Most people do.
Yeah.
And I think right away, I have this, for my mom, I got this, you know, this aloha spirit, you know, and so that'll never go away. So, no, I think people are really interested, and more so than I thought. You know, I didn't think that people would be... that, you know, wanting to find out what you were doing in there and stuff. So,
okay.
But
is there a website people can get a hold of you if they would like to see your work and maybe even communicate with you a little bit?
Yes.
Do you answer your emails and stuff?
Wow. That's, you know, one of the things about doing 20 something years in the joint is technology has changed quite a bit. So no, I don't. I try to, but it's kind of rough. But
okay. So what's your website?
Kirk. charltonarts with an S at gmail. Oh no, that's my email. At gmail.com is my email.
Okay.
And kirkcharltonarts.com is my website.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Kirk is K-I-R-K and not T, like I said at the beginning here.
Right.
Kirk Charlton, C-H-A-R-L-T-O-N, arts, A-R-T-S, .com.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Will you do me a favor? I've made a friend with you. Would you come back again? I'd love to chat with you. This time, let's talk about your arts. And
cool,
you
man.
Come back
That's
and show
great.
Us some of the stuff, and we'll kind of hang out a little bit more, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Terry.
All right. You take care, buddy.
Okay, you too.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by The Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.